We're back, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to the Drive Time Show here on Vaughn Radio. We welcome our morning listeners as well. It's 7 o'clock, and thanks for tuning in. And in a half hour, Richard Vaughn will be with you with Richard Vaughn live for the morning, that is, if you're listening in the morning. Some interesting news as McDonald's restaurants is closing in Russia. Yes, the burger chain became a symbol of openness worldwide towards the West when it launched its first restaurant in Moscow in 1990 and said due to the war in Ukraine, they are closing their shops. Hundreds of restaurants in Russia will close their doors, apparently permanently, at least for now. That's what they're saying. And Russia's losing a lot of businesses. A lot of businesses are pulling out of Russia. Anyway, you're listening to the Drive Time Show here on Vaughn Radio. We're going to begin this half hour with an interesting... Well, we like to talk facts. We talk about a lot of things. Let's have a look at some interesting facts about alcohol at this time as we have a section called And That's a Fact.
And that's a fact.
Well, a recent study says that being drunk does not change your personality.
I'd murder a bottle of whiskey.
Well, they say being drunk does not change your personality as much as you think. Well, I don't know. I think we could debate this, but U.S. researchers got a group of test subjects tipsy, a little bit drunk, and they asked them neutral observers to record how their personalities changed. While drinkers thought they turned nicer and more open-minded, outsiders said they became more sociable, but otherwise stayed the same. So according to a professor from the University of Missouri, Rachel Winograd, who conducted the survey, she said, "We were surprised to find such a discrepancy between drinkers' perception of their own alcohol-induced personalities and how observers perceived them." She said participants reported experiencing differences in all factors of the five-factor model of personality, but extroversion was the only factor robustly perceived to be different across participants. So you do get a bit more bold. Out of 156 people recruited for the study, well, they were invited into a lab in groups of 3 and 4, with half of them given vodka and Sprite, and the others drank lemonade without alcohol as a placebo. And the participants were given group activities like puzzles and discussion questions during which they displayed their personalities. They were also asked to describe their own drunk personality throughout the experiment. The drinkers said that alcohol made them less conscientious. To be conscientious is like to be worried about yourself. Preocupado por sí mismo. Consciente de tu mismo, ¿no? Ti mismo. Right? Eso es. Less conscientious and more open to new experiences, more agreeable and more extroverted. So she says, we believe both the participants and the raters were both accurate and inaccurate. The raters reliably reported what was visible to them, and the participants experienced internal changes that were real to them, but not noticeable to the observers. So basically, when you're drunk, you think you're more confident, but really, if someone's sober on the outside is watching, they don't notice you being a whole lot more confident. But I guess what people enjoy about being drunk is that at least perceived confidence. Part of it is that. Now, if the test subjects had been given enough alcohol to become genuinely drunk, their personality changes could become more obvious, they said. It's also plausible that people were simply holding themselves back in a lab setting, so they might have been more reserved because they knew they were being observed in a laboratory for this study. It could have been a factor. And the scientist did say at the end, of course, we also would love to see these findings replicated outside of a lab, in bars, at parties, and in homes where people actually do their drinking. Now, this professor has published dozens of papers on social and psychological effects of alcohol. She says, most importantly, we need to see how this works, or how this work is most relevant in a clinical realm and can be effectively included in interventions to help reduce any negative impact of alcohol on people's lives. So she says, yeah, we're studying alcohol to figure out how we can make people's lives better. Well, there you go. Interesting. Interesting. Well, we have a challenge. Tenemos un reto aquí. This is one that we do most days, not every day, but almost. Let's have a quick look at today's interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge.
Interrogative challenge, everybody. Ya sabes, you know how this works. I'm going to give you the answer to the question. You could ask me the question that I've already answered.
Qué curioso.
Okay, here we go. Number one, my first impression of her was good. What was your first impression of her? Hey, what was your first impression of her? Number two, we sold 3 units last week. How many units did you sell last week? Now, so ask me the question asking for the information that I stress. Que voy marcando. Number three, talar means to cut down trees. What does talar mean? Hey, what does talar mean? It means to cut down trees. Number four, we started last week. When did you start? Hey, when did you start? Oh, we started last week. I looked the word up in the Collins Dictionary. Where did you look the word up?
Dunde.
Hey, where did you look the word up? Oh, in the Collins Dictionary. Okay. Peter gave the opening speech. Who gave the opening speech? Who gave the opening speech? Oh, Peter did. Number six, he eats at home every day. Where does he eat every day? Where does he eat every day? Oh, at home. You can find bargains in the Rastro. Where can I find bargains? Hey, where can I find bargains? No, in the Rastro. John usually does it. Who usually does it? Who usually does it? Oh, John. Mm-hmm. He went to bed an hour ago. When did he go to bed? When did he go to bed? Oh, an hour ago. The price should be raised 10%. How much should the price be raised? How much should the price be raised? Oh, it should be raised 10%. I met her at a cocktail party. Where did you meet her? Hey, where did you meet her? Oh, I met her at a cocktail party. Let's do one more. Let's do one more. I had lunch with him twice last week. How many times did you have lunch with him last week? How many times? ¿Cuántas veces? How many times did you have lunch with him last week? How many times? Wonderful. Very good. Very good, friends. There you go. Our interrogative challenge, the most dynamic moment, the most dynamic 5 minutes or 3 minutes in Spanish radio, the interrogative challenge. And if you want to practice more, if you need more of it, you can listen. Remember, you can download the show on iVox. Go to iVox.com, iVox.com, or search for the iVox app. And in the app, which is free, you can find the Drive Time show. Search for Drive Time on Vaughn Radio, Drive Time with Kyle Miller. And you'll find thousands of episodes of this program, our primetime show here, the Drive Time show. You can find thousands of episodes and practice with those challenges, with the interrogative challenge and with the translation challenge. No cuesta nada. Cuesta esfuerzo. Más que dinero, aprender inglés cuesta esfuerzo. Eso sí. So be sure to search for Drive Time there on iVox. All right. Now let's move on and have a look at today's, how about this? How about our vocabulary? Everybody got the disease. Come together. All right, everybody, it's vocabulary time. And that means it's time for our vocabulary correspondent and our good friend, Tino.
Hello.
How are you today, Tino?
Very good, Kyle. And you?
Good. I'm doing well.
Well.
Bastante bien, eh? Pretty good today.
A long weekend.
Yeah, it's been a long weekend and we're getting back in the groove now.
Did you rest?
Yeah, I did. I did. Yeah. Absolutely.
Me too.
And yourself? Yeah, of course, of course. Now, Tino, it's time to talk vocabulary.
Let's see.
And I'd like to talk about the skeletal system.
Oh, interesting.
The skeletal system, that's right. What do you say? El esqueleto.
El esqueleto.
Yeah. So, and all these terms, bones and different terms that we need to use. So how would you say ligamento?
Easy, ligament.
Yeah, see, English is easy, right? Ligament. 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 Tendon.
Tendon.
Tendon. Tendon. Uh-huh. Tendon. All right. What about cartílago?
Ooh. I don't know that.
Cartílago. Cartilage, we say. Cartilage.
Cartilage.
So you'll have cartilage in your knee, for example, right?
For example, yeah.
Cartilage. Cartilage. Cráneo.
Skull.
Skull. Skull. Pelvis.
Pelvis?
Like Pelvis Presley.
For example. El rey del rock and roll.
Exactly, Pelvis Presley. Actually, they did call him, he was sometimes known as Elvis the Pelvis.
Elvis the Pelvis, yeah.
Because the way he danced.
Yeah.
Right? It sounds better than Fitz the Pelvis, for example.
Yeah.
Elvis the Pelvis.
Or Tino.
Tino the Pelvis.
No.
Hueso.
Bone.
Bone. Bone. ¿Y la costilla?
The rib.
Rib. Rib.
Rib.
Rib. Columna vertebral.
Spine.
Spine.
Mm-hmm.
And down the spine, you have in the center, you have the spine and also the spinal cord. Do you say cuerda or do you say...
No.
Columna vertebral, the spine or spinal cord. Spinal cord or spine, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Articulación.
Joint.
Joint. Joint. Joint is also like for marijuana.
Yep.
Smoke a joint. Roll like Tom Petty and roll another joint. Joint. Una articulación. Pero no hablaba de eso. Rótula.
Oh, rótula. Knee. I don't know.
We say kneecap.
Cap.
Kneecap. Mm? Como tapa. Tapa de... Because it's like a little tapa there.
Gorrito.
Yeah. Kneecap. Yeah, kneecap, we say.
Gorrito de rodilla.
Yeah. Now, so we have tendons and ligaments.
Mm-hmm.
Tendons and... What's the difference between a tendon and a ligament? I honestly don't know. I mean, I'm not an expert in this stuff.
Yeah. Un tendón... A tendon is the... In the... How do you say? In los extremos? In the edges?
The edges, okay.
Of a muscle.
Tendon. Ah.
Tendon, yeah.
Okay.
And ligament is not... No es contraíble. No tiene acción.
Ah, okay. Mm. Ah, so a ligament...
Just for supporting the joint.
So hold on, that's the ligament.
The ligament.
Yeah, the ligament. So it's just... could the ligament be made of cartilage?
No.
What is the material of a ligament?
I have no idea. But it's not like a muscle. It's not contracturable. It's not.
Yeah, it can't be flexed.
Yeah.
It can't be flexed or right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's like, I think it's like glue for...
That's a tendon.
No, that's a ligament.
Sorry, the ligament, excuse me. The ligament. Okay.
The tendon is part of the muscle.
The tendon, yeah. So when you're lifting weights, you're activating the tendon.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And the muscle. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So the ligament is just a material that is there to keep things in place, more or less.
That's right? Yeah.
Ligament and tendon. Very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Now, and then you have, cartilage. Cartilage. So that kind of serves, that's in it often in the joints, right? To protect the moving parts in the joint, maybe?
Maybe, or there are a lot of, how do you say, cartilage. In the nose or in the ears.
True, yeah. So it keeps your body in place. It keeps mm-hmm. things in shape. Yeah, your nose is full of cartilage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Cartilage. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, and then we had cranio, you said what?
Skull.
Skull.
Yeah. Skull is another thing.
Pelvis?
Pelvis.
Mm-hmm. Hueso?
Bone.
Yep. Costilla?
Rib.
Columna vertebral?
Spine.
Articulación?
Joint.
And rótula?
The kneecap.
Kneecap. Here's a piece of trivia for you. How many bones are there in the human body?
Around 200.
Good. Yeah, good answer. It's true. I think there are 206.
Yeah.
According to Google. It used to be when you knew a fact like that, it's like, ooh, this guy knows everything. But now, a fact like that just means that they know how to use Google. You know? I'm not really that smart, but I looked it up. 206 bones.
206.
That's a lot of bones. I mean, even in your hand, you have a lot of bones in your hand.
Yeah.
If you think about it.
Your feet.
And your feet.
Mm.
All those little bones. Yeah. Interesting.
Mm.
All right. The skeleton. Now, can you think of any other words that we've missed here on this list for the skeletal system?
Yeah, a lot. The elbow,
sure.
Shoulder.
Particular joints and articulations. The elbow, the shoulder.
Your hands, your feet.
Hands, all these things, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do you say?
Hip.
No, your fingers in the feet are...
Toes.
Toes, yeah.
Toes, yeah.
Yeah.
So we have fingers and toes. Mm-hmm. Good. Well, hey, that's a good bit of vocabulary.
Yeah, interesting.
Important stuff to know if you're, you get an injury, you have to explain it, or if you want to work in a field related to this. All right. Well, hey, thank you for your time, Tino.
Oh, you're welcome, Kyle.
Wonderful. Thank you very much. So, Tino, everybody, on today's Drive Time Show.
Thank you.
With the vocabulary. Thank you.
See ya.
All right. We'll see you next time. History. Well, today in history, folks, we're going back to 2006, and Toyota announced plans for the hybrid Camry on this day in 2005. It has a gasoline-electric hybrid version of the best-selling Camry sedan. Built in the company's Georgetown, Kentucky plant, the Camry became Toyota's first hybrid model to be manufactured in the United States. Now, Toyota introduced the Camry. The name is the photonic transcription of the Japanese word crown. Camry, crown in Japanese. And it was launched in the Japanese market in 1980 and started selling in the U.S. the following year. Now, by the late 1980s and early 90s, the success of the Camry and its Japanese competitor, the Honda Accord, had allowed Toyota and Honda to gain control of the mid-size market in the United States. But by then, Toyota had adopted the Camry, and they had adjusted things to more American tastes, increasing the size. They made things bigger. Cup holders, Americans love to drive around drinking coffee and soda, pop, whatever. So they had cup holders, they had larger, you know, areas for your feet and everything else. And by 2003, things were booming for the Toyota Camry. And they went on to sell around 400,000 units per year. In 1997, Toyota's Prius, the world's first mass-produced gas-electric hybrid vehicle, went on sale in Japan. It was released worldwide in 2001, and by using an electric motor to supplement power from the gasoline hybrid technology, it resulted in greatly improved fuel efficiency and higher gas mileage. Honda launched its own hybrid lineup with the Insight in 1999 and continued with the hybrid Civic in 2002. And by then, gas prices were rising, subiendo, como espuma. They were skyrocketing, kind of like now. Combined with also people protesting against vehicles that consumed a lot of gas for environmental reasons. Celebrities like Leonardo DiCaprio, Cameron Diaz, and others proudly drove Toyota Priuses around Hollywood, around Los Angeles. And by 2003, Honda and Toyota were selling 50,000 hybrids a year in the United States. And in 2005, they developed their plan to develop or to sell the hybrid in the U.S. And the total number of Toyota-made hybrid models increased to 4, including the Prius, the Lexus RX400, a midsize sports utility vehicle released in April 2005, and a second SUV, the Toyota Highlander, that came out that June. So there you go, a little bit of history there. Toyota announcing the plans for the hybrid Toyota Camry, a very popular car launched on this day in 2005. Now we have people writing in about the Twitter translation. I'm going to get to this and the sound as well. Let me see here. So I said at the start of the show, como dice en inglés, abran el libro por la página 50. And Victor says, open the book on page 50. Oh, but be careful.
Casi.
Open the book at page 50, said Olivia. No, not quite.
Oui, casi.
Open the book on page 50, says Nuritam. No.
Que tortura.
Que tortura. No me lo puedo creer. Let's check in on Twitter here. Fran. They open the book on page 50. What I'm looking for, though, is open the book to page 50. Let's try that. Open the book to page 50. Yeah, there you go. That was our correct answer. Now, also, we have people writing in about the sound. And Nuri Tem says it's the theme song of Better Call Saul. But no, it's not. It's not the theme of Better Call Saul.
Fíjate.
Did anybody get this? Fíjate. No, this was the theme song. This is a theme song from Breaking Bad. Yeah, people are saying Better Call Saul theme song. No, it's the theme song from Breaking Bad, everybody. The theme jingle, let's say. Anyway, we're out of time. I want to thank you for listening, everybody, and I'll leave you with the next program. I'll be back tomorrow with another edition of the Drive Time Show. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Many English methods guarantee that you can learn English with 20 minutes a day. Don't believe them. The only guarantee in these cases is that your money will be in their pocket.
Nuestros campamentos este año tienen un extra de diversión. Tanto si buscas un planazo de ciudad o darles un verano de multiaventura en inglés, tenemos un plan diseñado donde el aprendizaje y la diversión van de la mano. Más información en grupobauwan.com.
Estoy creando la fórmula mágica para aprender inglés. Añado 5 semanas, 5 horas a la semana de lunes a viernes. Unas gotas de listening and speaking, enciendo el catalizador y...